Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are delighted to have the big fella Booger McFarland on for the second hour of our show today. And you think he doesn't know Super Bowls? Think again. Take a look at this. This was Booger in Super Bowl 41. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Booger. Break down your sack of the Bears, Rex Grossman.
Well, Greeny, what you missed was the great spin move that I put on the guard. Garza came down. Watch the spin move. You haven't seen athletic ability like that since I don't know when, maybe ever. And then Rex Grossman saw me coming, and he said, you know what? I'm going to choose the better part of valor, and I'm going to just go down. I don't know why we wore white, though. I was a little fat back then. And then, you know, the great Gatorade dump for Coach Tony Dungy was outstanding. But great sack, Greeny. Unbelievable play. And besides looking a little fat, it was one of the highlights of my career.
I mean, he's moving like it's not.
Look at the quickness.
It wasn't slowing him down.
Of the big fella, Booger McFarland, one of the two Super Bowl rings that he won in his career. He's with us for the hour here. We welcome you back to another hour of Get Up Live, as always, from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase, and we're jam-packed. Let's roll it. Here we go, because it is a morning to get up with quarterback conversation. It begins with this one. Did you hear what he said? Maybe it isn't over yet for the greatest of all time. We will start there. Meanwhile, we've got the one thing that this one absolutely cannot do if he wants any chance of winning it one more time. And then, why this one is facing the toughest test of his entire career in the biggest game of his life. That and more. Lots of quarterback talk as we get up with you, starting right now with this. It's only been a week since Tom Brady officially retired from the NFL, and already he's talking about coming back. Listen to Brady on his Let's Go podcast last night, being very honest about the possibility of a return.
As they come. You know, I think that's the best way to put it. And I don't think anything never, you know, you never say never. And, you know, at the same time, I know that I feel very good about my decision. So I don't know how it feels 6 months from now, but, you know, I try to make the best possible decision I can in the moment, which I did this last week. And again, I think it's not looking to, you know, reverse course. I'm definitely not looking to do that. But in the same time, I think you have to be realistic that you never know what challenges there are going to be in life. And, again, I love playing. I'm looking forward to doing things other than playing. That's as honest as I can be with you there, Jim.
He's being very honest with Jim, which is fascinating to me. Booger, we've not gotten your take on this yet. Here we are a week removed from the retirement. He's already talking openly about the possibilities of coming back. Do you think he will?
Absolutely not, Green. There's zero chance Tom Brady comes back. And, you know, I get it. Tom is already kind of playing a little bit coy with Jim, making the radio show and the podcast Let's Go sound very interesting. But if you just listened to him a week ago when he basically said, you know what, I no longer have the desire to put the time to be competitive day in and day out. I want to go on and do other things. I want to now put my family first. How can you say 1 week that you want to put your family first and then the next week come back and talk about a comeback? I think Brady has given us something to talk about, but there is zero chance. There's a better chance, Greeny, of me growing an afro right now than Tom Brady coming back to play football, and I can't grow much hair during these days.
So you're saying there's a chance, Booger. Hey, look, the great quarterbacks, I'm just thinking back in my mind through some of the press conferences where they've announced their retirement. John Elway emotionally talking about how his body just can't take it anymore. Peyton Manning talking about how his body just can't take it anymore. That's usually when they go away. They usually don't retire off of playing as well as they ever have, regardless of their age. And I think that is a factor in this, Dominique Foxworth. What do you think?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of what you want, Greenies. First of all, I think Tom Brady being playing quarterback as well as he has up until now is like a marvel of modern science, not nearly as marvelous as it would be if Booger was able to regrow hair. That would be the new, like, high bar for scientific achievement in this country. But I do think that when you listen closely to what he was saying, it sounds like he's in mourning until he says, that anything's possible. His voice like picks up a little bit. Like it almost feels like hopeful. I do think it's incredibly unlikely, but it seems clear, or at least the intimation that I get is that what he wants to do is play football. What he feels like he has to do is retire. And I'm not sure that Tom Brady has ever given in to what people want or expect from him up until this point. So I guess in the coming months, we'll find out what he really wants.
I totally agree with that. That you just said it better than I did earlier this morning. I think he's doing what he thinks he has to do rather than what he really wants to do, and that could get complicated as time goes by. Sacho, what do you think?
Tom Brady doesn't just want to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. He wants to be a Hall of Fame father as well. And he understands the sacrifices that he's taken to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, the best to ever do it. When he gets time to be with his family, he's not going to want to leave again. I travel a lot for TV stuff and for speaking. And every time I leave, I have little kids, three young ones. They're like, Daddy, are you leaving again? This morning before the show, my son, they're about to go to school. He was like, Daddy, are you leaving today again? No one wants that feeling to say, yes, son or daughter, I'm leaving. Tom Brady doesn't want that. Look at the way he's hugging his family. Look at the way he kisses his wife. Look at the way his daughter kisses him. Tom Brady cares about things more than just football. He's done all of it on the football field. Everything you could ever imagine. Now he wants to do the same thing off of the football field, and that is what makes Tom Brady the GOAT.
We'll see. You know, his idol, Dan Graziano, was Joe Montana when he was growing up. And Montana told me on my radio show just a few weeks ago, he regrets not coming back and playing another year at the end of his career. He had offers too, he considered it, and he went away. If Brady consults Montana on this, which he might, again, it's his childhood idol, I think Montana will tell him, if you can still play, play, because your life goes on a long time after you're done playing. If you have another year or two, you can do it, maybe you consider doing it. Graziano, what's your take on all this?
Well, he doesn't sound like a man completely at peace with his decision, and I think, you know, what Dominique and you were referring to is a real thing, and maybe he's keeping in the back of his mind, like, wouldn't it be great if something changed and I could feel good about playing again? But it's also possible that as he gets farther away from the decision, farther away from the end of the season, that he becomes at peace with it. And I think that's one of the more likely outcomes. Dominique is shaking his head.
Why? Because he still wants to play.
Between the first hour and the second hour, I have decided to join Team Fun. And Team Fun, the captain of Team Fun is Mike Greenberg. And you know what's fun? Speculating about Tom Brady coming back. I get out of here with all your logic, talking about Tom Brady wanting to be a Hall of Fame dad. I hate to burst your bubble, Tom Brady, but you cannot. It's impossible to be as good a father as you were a football player because you're the best football player of all time. There is no dad Hall of Fame. Win another Super Bowl. Give me and Greeny something to talk about.
No, certainly parenting is not something you do for the glory. That is for sure. But I think in his mind, is there like some dream scenario where some team calls in August and says, hey, our quarterback got hurt. We'd love to have you. And
Dan,
like,
it's not a dream scenario. It is
comes out of the phone booth.
It's
right?
A lock. It's a stone cold lead pipe lock. That will happen, right? A quarterback will get hurt in August and they will call Tom Brady.
But there's no phone booth. He's going to have to put in an offseason of work. Is he going to still do that and be ready when they call in August? That's my question.
Booger, final word, go.
There is no chance. They can call Tom Brady all they want to. And Dominique, I hear you on being on Team Fun. I love being on Team Fun, but I'm also part of Team Realistic. And Acho, I get it. You're on my side. But if we're going to judge somebody by how they kiss their kids, hopefully you kiss your kids and hug your kids like that every day and let them know that they love you. Because Tom Brady didn't do anything different during the hugging and kissing that we all do every day.
Okay. Let's leave it there for the moment. We will see. I think we have not heard the last of this. In the meantime, we definitely are coming up on the Super Bowl here. 5 days and counting to Super Bowl 56. Let's talk about keys. Dominique Foxworth, what is in your mind the key to Super Bowl 56?
Yeah, I mean, I think once we get past the offensive line, I think it's how Odell Beckham plays, because we know Cooper Kupp is going to get most of the attention, and Odell Beckham is as good as Cooper Kupp, Odell at his best. So the idea that they have him out there able to attack the defense also, I do think that the way that he plays is going to determine how much the Rams score. It's going to probably decide the game, in my view.
We're going to hear a little from him later in this hour. Meantime, Sacho, key to the Super Bowl.
The T Higgins and Tyler Boyd on third down. Let's just say that Ja'Marr Chase is shut down by Jalen Ramsey. Let's say that happens. Well, you have to look at the other receivers, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. They are the targets on third down. When you go back and watch the film of this game, you see the Bengals throwing to these two guys when it matters most. So that's the key to victory for the Bengals.
How about you, Booger? What's the key to Super Bowl 56?
Well, it's really simple. It's the Bengals' offensive line, because if they can't block Aaron Donald, Von Miller, and Leonard Floyd, this is not going to be a game. So we can talk about the receivers. We can talk about Odell Beckham. You can talk about how long the national anthem is. We can talk about whatever else you want. But if that Bengals' offensive line cannot block the Rams' defensive line, this game is over before it ever starts.
Okay, beautiful. So, you know, can we skip the soundbite here? I want to just focus in on that for a minute. We were going to play some sound from Joe Burrow, but basically said he has all the confidence in the world in his offensive line, because what's he going to say? They're going to kill me out there on Sunday? He's not going to say anything different.
What else
different
is he going to say?
Right. So, but Booger, Sacho, and I'll let you make the point, Sacho, brought up that he got sacked 9 times in the Tennessee game and still found a way to win. Go ahead, Sacho, pick up that thought for Booger.
Yeah, so Joe Burrow was the most sacked quarterback in the NFL, yet he's still playing in the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times against the Tennessee Titans, yet he still won that game, which is a playoff game. He's still playing in the Super Bowl. The reason they're winning is not just because of Joe Burrow. It's because their defense as well. The Bengals in this playoff stint, they've won by a combined 13 points. You know how many points they have off of turnovers? 20. And so it's the turnovers. It's the defense. Of course Joe Burrow is going to get sacked. He knows his weakness, so we can't sit here and say, well, he's going to get sacked, they have no chance. No, because that's what we all thought against Tennessee, and him and that team still won the game.
Yeah, what do you think of that, Book?
Well, let me check the roster and see if the Rams, who's playing quarterback? Is Ryan Tannehill? No, Ryan Tannehill is not playing quarterback. So, listen, as long as Matthew Stafford remembers what color jersey they're wearing and doesn't pull a Ryan Tannehill, if he gets sacked 9 times, first of all, if he gets sacked 9 times in the Super Bowl, they have zero chance whatsoever.
Yeah,
and I hear you with the Bengals defense. Now, let's switch it to that side and talk about this Bengals defense. Who in the hell is Eli Apple going to cover? I'll wait. Please tell me, Dominique, you're the cornerback. Who is Eli Apple going to cover? Is it Cooper Kupp? Is it Odell Beckham? Because I will take that matchup, and I will bet my salary and your salary that the Rams win it.
Oh, you can get your hands off my money, first of all. I do think the idea that that Joe Burrow can get sacked 9 times and win is outrageous, because it reminds me of 50 Cent. Like, 50 Cent got shot 9 times. Amazing marketing, but no one's out here like saying, you know what? You know how to launch a rap career? Let me go get shot 9 times. Like, that's the same thing you're asking of Joe Burrow. It's like, it happened once. That's called an aberration. You are not 50 Cent. You are not going to have a long, illustrious career to become an actor and producer just because you got shot 9 times. Many men have wished death upon him, and they will see it if they cannot block Von Miller and Aaron Donald.
Many men.
Get out of here with this wish strategy. He did it once before. Okay.
Neek.
Yes,
listen,
sir.
Do you know who threw more interceptions this year?
50?
Yeah. I'm going to help you out
50
here, Sacho.
Fifty Cent got shot 9 times, yet we're still talking about him.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times, yet we're still talking about him. You literally just proved my point. He built his whole career off of getting shot 9 times. That's 50 Cent's career. Joe Burrow has built his career after getting sacked 60-plus times and going to the Super Bowl. That's his career, number one. And number two, Boog, I got to address you, because you said about turnovers and what have you. Matthew Stafford threw the most interceptions this season, 17. And so, the Bengals can probably pick off Matthew Stafford. Von Bell and Jesse Bates are two of the best safeties, at least a top two, top three safety tandem in the NFL. So I like their secondary that the Bengals have. I also like the front seven. And so I just want to say, you can build a career after getting shot 9 times.
I mean, look, I have to leave it there in the interest of time.
You can't.
But I love the discussion.
You're window shopping for Super Bowl.
And I will say that none of the 50 Cent stuff was in the notes. But we continue in just a moment here.
Surprise. Curveball.
Coming up, we've got the one thing Aaron Rodgers absolutely cannot do if he wants any chance of getting back to the Super Bowl. We'll tell you exactly what it is coming up next. Plus, he was booed, then he was benched. The trade deadline is 2 days away. What are the Lakers going to do with Russell Westbrook? We'll talk about that and more with Stephen A. Smith in our studio. Coming up, Get Up on ESPN.
The Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, it's Overreaction Tuesday. I'll say something that I think people are generally saying, and Graziano will tell us if that something is an overreaction. It starts with this. If someone were to say Matthew Stafford is going to be the Super Bowl MVP, would that be an overreaction?
I say it's an overreaction. As I mentioned earlier, the Bengals have been tough on quarterbacks this postseason. Stafford is a guy that led the league in interceptions. We're not even having this conversation if Jaquiski Tartt holds on to one ball that should have been an interception a couple of weeks ago. And I think the Super Bowl MVP all but once has come from the winning team. I don't think the Rams are going
to
win.
Wow, that's right. You've been on the Bengals since before it was chic to be on the Bengals, so I'm paying attention. Next, if someone were to say Russell Wilson isn't going anywhere, would that be an overreaction?
It's an overreaction. I really do think Russell Wilson will explore his options and potentially force a trade out of Seattle. Look, this is something that came up last year. His agent sent an on-the-record list of potential trade destinations to Adam Schefter. It's a real thing and a real possibility that Russell Wilson leaves. If you're a Seahawks fan and you don't believe it, I understand, but you should at least acknowledge the possibility and prepare for it.
All right, one more quarterback. If someone were to say Aaron Rodgers could actually retire, would that be an overreaction?
It's not an overreaction. He's 38 years old. He's talked openly about it. We know this is a player who has interests outside of football and could very well hang it up and say, I've had the career, you know, beyond my wildest dreams, and as we discussed, because if he doesn't want to stay in Green Bay, it's a threat that he can hold over the Packers. I think it's a legitimate one.
Could you imagine if that were to happen? I'm not saying you're saying you think it's good. We could have Brady, Rodgers, and Roethlisberger in the same Hall of Fame class.
That'd be something.
In 5 years. That would really be something. But speaking of Rodgers, we had Dan Orlovsky on the program yesterday talking about the danger Rodgers faces if he does move to a new team. Listen.
Don't go to Denver. I've said it last week. It's a death sentence out there. The Chargers are going to be a lot better. You got the Kansas City Chiefs. Denver's a good football team. The Raiders are going to be a lot better. Greeny, the AFC is not a place for a Super Bowl or a quarterback to go and try to go make a last Super Bowl run. This is very similar to what Tom did in New England. When Tom was making his decision a couple years ago, it was get out of the AFC because it was so loaded. If I'm Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers wants to say, I want to make a final run at the Super Bowl, your by far easiest path is in the NFC.
So, Booger, we've had this conversation on this show now for about the last week and a half, but I've not had a chance to ask you your opinion. There are some, and Dan is one of those right there, saying no matter what else happens, Rodgers has to stay out of the AFC. You agree?
Yeah, I disagree, Green. To me, it's about going where he feels like he can play the best and get the most control. You know, Dan talked about Tom left the AFC, didn't want to go in the AFC because of the competition. He went to Tampa because of the weapons. He wanted to get out of New England because he didn't have anybody to throw the football to. That's the reason why he wanted to get out of New England. And he went to Tampa, and oh, by the way, he had a ready-made team there. I think if you're Aaron Rodgers, let's understand the reason why he wants to leave Green Bay. It's not for the competition. It's not for anything else. It's the fact that he doesn't feel like he has any say-so or doesn't feel like he's involved in the decision-making process. The fact that he didn't even show up until the first day of the season of training camp last year. So I think if we want to understand where he's going to go, look and find the place where he can have the most input and the most control. Because the one thing that all-time great players don't think about, they don't think about the path of least resistance. They're not thinking about, hey, where's the easy way for me to win? You know what they say? I'm an all-time great. I can win anywhere I want to go. And I got to believe a guy who is such a deep thinker and kind of bashfully arrogant like Aaron Rodgers, he feels the same way.
The only part of that I disagree with is bashfully.
Yeah, what's bashful about his arrogance?
His arrogance, I think, is fully well on display. But the rest of it I agree with. Neek, that feels similar to what you said earlier this morning about just picking the right spot regardless.
Yeah, and I think the Tom Brady example is an interesting one because he went to a pretty complete roster, which is also in a weaker conference. So, yes, that's the ideal situation. But I think that what you want is to get the best possible team. If you're looking at these available rosters and you rank the Broncos as a 10 and you rank someone in NFC as a 7, I guarantee you that every other quarterback is going to want to go to the best roster because you can't predict what's going to happen with the path. You can, however, understand and appreciate how much easier your job in life will be if you have more talent around you. And frankly, for Aaron, it's more about getting to like that championship game. And he's felt like probably in many cases he hasn't had the help to get him there. He's not afraid of any quarterback. He's just hoping that he gets the defensive help that he wants and maybe even some more offensive help that he feels like he needs.
Now, Graziano, I appreciate the parallels with Brady. I think they are appropriate. Mm-hmm. The big difference, however, is that Brady was a free agent. He negotiated a situation where he became a free agent. He could do whatever he chose. Rodgers is not in that situation. So just how much control over where he winds up does he actually have?
If the threat of retirement is legitimate, then he has some degree of control because the way the contract is set up makes things very difficult on the Packers if they don't trade him or if they don't extend him. Quite frankly, they may have to extend him in order to trade him. We can talk about that when and if it happens. But I think, he has a lot of – the reason the contract was reworked this way was to give him control over this situation at this point so that he could get out if he wanted to. He could force a trade if he wanted to. So that's why this remains a possibility.
I guess what I'm really getting at here is one of the factors that might lead him to the AFC is that you would assume the Packers would be much more inclined to trade him to the AFC. So what I guess I'm trying to ask is, let's just use San Francisco as a straw man in this in this discussion. If that's where he wanted to go, could he make it a point with the Packers of, I don't care what else happens, that's where you're trading me?
Yeah, he could, because if the trade becomes their only feasible option and that's the only feasible destination, then yes. I mean, he could threaten to retire if he's traded to a place he doesn't want to play.
Right.
I mean, that's a possibility, too. And that still socks the Packers on their salary cap. So he has a lot of control over the situation. Packers absolutely would prefer to see him in the AFC if they are dealing him, but it may not be that they get that choice.
Okay, we will find. Let me leave it there for the moment. We have a lot to get to, including back to the Super Bowl. We will go. We will show you the surprise that gave Odell Beckham Jr. chills yesterday. It was very close to not happening at all. He will explain why that was as we continue in just a few moments. Plus, all the fuss about Russ. The deadline is 2 days away. What should the Lakers do with Russell Westbrook? I'll ask that question to Stephen A. Smith, who will join us live in our studio in just a moment. But first, it is time for the showdown. Sneaky Hembo versus Graziano. It's a great question.
Yes.
Which NFL franchise played the most seasons before winning its first championship? The answer is next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
On February 4th, 2007, Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith became the first African-American head coaches to coach in the Super Bowl, with Dungy's Colts taking on Lovie's Bears. In a game which also featured a legendary halftime performance by Prince, Peyton Manning led the Colts to a 29-17 victory, winning the Colts' first title in 36 years.
And we're back on Get Up, and here we go with Sneaky Hembo for Graziano. The Bengals have never won a championship in their history. The question for today is, which NFL franchise played the most seasons before winning its first championship?
I don't know the answer. You know, the first thought I had was Eagles, but then I realized it doesn't say Super Bowl. It says NFL championship, so that wouldn't work. My guess is going to be the New England Patriots.
This is so close. 42 seasons for the Patriots, 43 for the Saints.
That is close.
The New Orleans Saints,
well done,
43
sir.
Years. The Patriots were 42. My guess was the Steelers, who existed for a long time and were generally terrible, and then they won their first championship in their 40 seasons.
So that was one bet. Wow.
So you were awfully close. Patriots was close, but the Saints, that's a fair win. I'm going to give
that one
to Hembo. So 6-5 is our score right now as I stand here directly in front of the 6. Meanwhile, show me Booger McFarland. Let's go Booger in the bayou because LSU is all over this Super Bowl. And Booger, let's start with Joe Burrow. How do you believe Burrow, your LSU QB, will handle the Rams' pass rush?
Well, Green, it's really not up to him to handle the Rams' pass rush. It's up to his offensive line. I think Joe Burrow has proved to us that no matter how many times he gets knocked down, 9 against the Tennessee Titans, he'll get back up and keep competing again. He's just got to get a little bit of help. And I think that's the one thing that gives Bengals fans a little confidence is that they know their quarterback, regardless of the situation, he will continue to play and play hard and give them a chance to win.
He's also got his good buddy on the outside from LSU. That's Ja'Marr Chase. How do you like him in this matchup against Jalen Ramsey?
Well, I don't know just how much we're going to see that matchup bring. The Rams play a ton of zones, so they're not really a man-to-man team. I do think we'll get it every now and then. But, if you're the Rams and you're Jalen Ramsey, you got to be confident against any matchup. I think he's the best cornerback in football, and regardless of who the receiver is, whether it's Ja'Marr Chase, Davante Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, it doesn't matter. The best always want the best.
Well, let's talk about another one. It's another one of your LSU guys. One of the best is Odell. What are your expectations for him in his first Super Bowl?
I think he's going to go off, Greeny. I think we've been waiting on Odell Beckham to be on a big stage ever since he made that one-handed catch against the Giants on that Sunday night. And I think now we have an opportunity on the stage where there's going to be 100 million people watching, and Odell Beckham Jr. is in L.A. He gets a chance to put on a show in front of the country, and I don't think he's going to miss out on it.
I'm with you. And by the way, yesterday he had a great moment. I'm sure you've seen this. I want to show everybody with another LSU guy and his best friend in the world, and that's Jarvis Landry, who surprised OBJ and shared a few words with his former teammate during the media availability last night. Here's how it went.
You deserving of this moment. You deserving of this moment, bro. You put countless hours to, you know, where you are today, and I've witnessed it all firsthand. You know, you have scars to show for where you are today. And I wanted to come on here and just let you know that I'm proud of you, bro. There's so many people supporting you. One of my favorite tattoos that you have, you're actually living it. And the tattoo says, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moment of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in the times of challenge and controversy. And you always stand up, brother. You always stand up. I love you.
I
love you,
dog.
And go get that ring. Go get that ring, dog.
I love you, dog. Give me chills.
That's a nice moment right there between those guys. Am I the only one whose first thought watching that was, I wonder how the Browns and Baker Mayfield feel watching this moment taking place right now? Come on, Graziano. No. I'm not the only one who thought that. I can't be the only one. Am I the only one who thought that?
Yeah, you're not the only one. Like, it was a beautiful moment. I'm happy for both of them. But poor Browns fans, they got to watch their crosstown rivals, the Bengals, have the quarterback that they thought that they were drafting and go all the way to the Super Bowl. Then the guy who they said was the problem is actually might be the solution to this. If you ask Booger McFarland and many of us who watch this game, it's going to be important for OBJ to play well. So, yeah, I mean, I can be happy for OBJ and Landry and also sad for the Browns fans at the same time.
I think there is something to
that. Hey, Greeny.
Yeah, go, Boog.
For a moment there, when you said, am I the only one, I thought you were going to finish that statement, who cried. I'm just being honest with you. I thought you were going to tell America that
you
cried.
Touching. It was touching.
I did get a tad weepy. You know, it's a nice moment, obviously. And for OBJ, it really is. Look, this is a guy who has been, to Dominique's point, that was not, this season was not the only time in his career he has been identified as, quote, the problem. And so the fact that he has come in here and is in the Super Bowl as potentially the solution really is a remarkable turn for him. Life-changing career. What's the word I'm looking for? Reputation changing, legacy changing. I mean, that's what this experience has been. Sacha, what do you think?
Well, I think really it's more the media that has labeled him as a problem. A lot of the teammates who you talk to will say, no, he's a great teammate. Some of his teammates in Cleveland said he was a great teammate. The guys who knew him really well in New York said he was a great teammate. But oftentimes the media can create these narratives about people for whatever reasons. And so for me, I don't think it's necessarily legacy changing or legacy defining, because the people who like Odell are going to like Odell. The people who don't like Odell are going to wait for him to make one wrong move, and then they're not going to like Odell. I'm happy for Odell because it's proves to the media and all the haters that he was not the problem, and he is not a problem. He was not a bad teammate. He is a good teammate, and I'm excited for his future. Every single week in the postseason, he's had more catches and more receiving yards. He's gotten a better grasp of this offense, so I'm excited to see it culminate in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he could be a huge part of this. Graziano, you were part of that media that covered him when he first came into the sport with the Giants.
Yeah, and first of all, Sacho, you're in the media now. Embrace it. Dominique, Cincinnati is not across town from Cleveland. I don't know what kind of geography, it's an entire state away. But anyway,
we knew what he meant.
The fact of the matter is, Odell Beckham, I have consistently said this throughout his entire career, it has not been issues with teammates. He has not been a problem in the locker room. He has had problems with losing. This is the second time in his career he's been on a team that finished the season with, third time he's been on a team that finished the season with a winning record. One was last year when he was hurt and didn't finish the season with the Browns. I am not surprised to see him flourishing in this environment. I always thought, as a member of that media, I always did like him, and I thought he was very misunderstood. I feel like I've stood up for him on this program and others. I'm not surprised that he still has it. I'm not surprised that he's flourishing in a winning environment. This is what he always wanted.
And he's a free agent after this, right? Whatever happens come Sunday.
Yes.
If he has a big day, that also factors into this a little. All right, guys, sit tight, because the Super Bowl is not the only huge event this week. The NBA trade deadline is 2 days away, and we could be seeing the movement of one of the big stars in the entire sport, if not several. Stephen A. Smith is on the way with his perspective on the fuss about Russ and a whole lot more. That's on Get Up on ESPN. Next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Hi, I'm Malika Andrews, host of NBA Today, and on Thursday, February 10th, tune into our NBA trade deadline special from 1 to 4 Eastern. We're going to have all the Woj bombs, including our top NBA analysts with insight on all trades around the league. So catch NBA Today on February 10th from 1 to 4 Eastern on ESPN.
That should be terrific. Huge week there. Meanwhile, huge story in the NFL. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks missed the playoffs this year. Wilson played just 14 games. He was hurt. Seattle finished last in the division. We had a lengthy conversation about him yesterday in which Ryan Clark at one point was talking about Russell Wilson and his abilities. And here's what RC said.
Russell Wilson is a very good football player. Russell Wilson is a really good quarterback. Russell Wilson is not a great quarterback. Russell Wilson is not an all-time great quarterback. He's never going to be in those conversations. And so we have to stop putting him in those in that world that any team that has Russell Wilson can win a Super Bowl.
So he said that, and then we posted it, and he was trending literally the entire day. And late in the day, he tweeted, "I truly didn't think what I said was that controversial." And it's a perfect example of sometimes if you don't hear the entire context of a conversation, it might seem like he was saying something. He was not suggesting that Russell Wilson isn't a terrific player. He was basically saying that you don't put him on the same level with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. That's what that conversation was. Moving forward, Booger McFarland, I've not yet gotten your perspective on this. Is Russell Wilson a player that if he moves from Seattle to another team this year, does he automatically make that team a Super Bowl contender? Is he that kind of player?
No, not automatically, Greeny. Russell is a good player, but he's not the type of player where you say, hey, let's give Russ the ball and let him cook. I think you play some sound early in the week from Richard Sherman on a podcast talking about how really the only time that Russ has been successful is when the team around him, the running game, the offensive line, the Legion of Boom has been really good. And that's true because he's not a quarterback that's going to throw it 45, 50 times a game and win the game from the pocket. He is a good quarterback. He has very good improvisational skills. He can do things in and out of the pocket and make plays that are winning plays during crunch time. But I would challenge anyone, go back and look at Russell's numbers on a money down, like third down, especially playing from the pocket. He struggles when it comes to that. So I don't think the trade market is going to be extremely high if and when Seattle and Russell say, hey, we're parting ways. Yeah, people will line up, but I don't think it's going to be every team in the league saying, hey, we're going to take Russell over our guy. He's a top 15 quarterback. I don't think he's in the top five. And I think that's what RC was trying to say, because when we look at the top five, we're talking Burrow, Mahomes, Rodgers, Josh Allen, Herbert, those guys. Russell is not in that category. Doesn't mean he's not a good player, but he's not the guy you say, I'm going to give him the ball and I can make everybody on my team better because he's there. He's not that quarterback.
That's a really interesting perspective because that is going about as far as RC did yesterday. We'll talk more about that as we go, but I'm going to change topics here. I'm going to change direction. The one, the only Stephen A. Smith has made his way into our studio.
What's going on, man?
So NBA Countdown, obviously, tomorrow night we will have. And we've got NBA stuff to talk about with Stephen A. So let me jump right into that here as we shift gears. And it starts our game on Saturday night. We had the Lakers and the Knicks. And the Lakers wound up coming from way behind to win that game in overtime. But Russell Westbrook struggled mightily. Frankly, he was awful. He got booed at home and he got benched for the overtime. It has led a lot of people to wonder about his future in Los Angeles. For what it's worth, LeBron James said this.
At the end of the day, as his brother, we all are in this together. We all in the foxhole together. There's not one guy that's doing it by himself. There's not one guy to get the blame over another guy. There's not one guy to get the praise over another guy. When we lose, we all lose. When we win, we all win. And it's literally that simple.
All right, so Stephen A., as we were promoting your appearance, you kept saying it's the fuss about Russ. What do they do?
You can't get rid of him in all likelihood because he's making $44 million this year. He's in the last year of his deal, play option. I think he's at $47 million next season, and a lot of people are not going to want to touch that right now. But it's an incredibly sad situation because Russell Westbrook is somebody that never, ever cheats the game. He always gives you effort. He always goes out there and gives it 100%. But he can't shoot. And in my estimation, here's what it comes down to. He needs to do what he basically did against the Charlotte Hornets a few weeks ago when we were doing NBA Countdown and he put on the show, but they ultimately lost that game. He attacked the basket with vigor. Layups, 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 or kick it out to somebody who can shoot. We have to understand the magnitude of what's transpiring here. Russell Westbrook, a future Hall of Famer, the crowd at the Staples Center was chanting, screaming, don't shoot, don't shoot. They were screaming for him not to shoot the ball. They booed him when he shot an air ball. They booed him when he hit the side of the backboard. He hit the side of the backboard on like a 17-foot jump shot. It is bad. You could say it's a slump, but when your game is predicated on athleticism, not shooting like a Steph, not shooting like a Klay Thompson or Ray Allen back in the day or whatever, but it's predicated on athleticism and you lose your ability to shoot the ball and they could just lay off you and dare you to shoot, your career is in grave jeopardy, period.
And the point that you made a moment ago about that game against Charlotte, for those who didn't watch it, that was a game that the Lakers played without LeBron James or Anthony Davis, which brings us back to the question that we've been asking all season long. What is Russell Westbrook's role when those guys are there? They've got 2 months to figure that out, because I agree with you. He's not going to get traded. He makes too much money. Will he have a significant role on this team when we get to the playoffs?
I don't think when it counts. When it counts, you're going to see him on the bench because he's a liability from the perimeter. And as a result of that, when he's not going, he's so frustrated, he loses all confidence. So now you can exploit his vulnerabilities in various ways. If his shot is not falling and he's feeling the effects of that, and he's doing exactly what LeBron James pointed out, he's second and third guessing himself. What happens is all of a sudden when you are a liability on the defensive end of the floor because somebody is getting the better of you, that contributes to your diminished confidence. When people are screaming for you not to shoot, that messes with your confidence. Ultimately, what it comes down to is that Russell Westbrook is a freak athlete who can attack the basket with vigor against anybody. Sometimes it's simply about recognizing and appreciating what you can't do, accepting it and saying, okay, but this is what I can do. And if he gets back to that, I think he'll be just fine. And he'll be, to some degree, what LeBron James is alluding to. The problem with Russ is that he's so strong-willed, he wants to defy the critics and the skeptics by doing what they say he can't do, which means that he's exposing himself to being even more exposed.
Yesterday on this show, Kendrick Perkins said Malik Monk is now the third member of the Big Three
that
in Los Angeles.
So that is correct.
Where they stand. Two things I want to get in with you quickly here before I let you go to First Take. Trade deadline is Thursday. Nets, Harden, what do you think?
No way in hell should the Philadelphia 76ers trade Ben Simmons within the division to a Brooklyn Nets squad. I believe that Ben Simmons, with a healthy and available Kyrie Irving and a healthy Kevin Durant, can beat anybody. They certainly would beat Philly. They would be a roadblock, an impediment to Philadelphia's success. James Harden, for all his greatness, is older, he's bigger, and now he has hamstring issues. You move him for Ben Simmons, that is a win for the Nets. It is not necessarily a win for the Philadelphia 76ers.
See, that's interesting to me. I actually agree with you. But Big Perk on this show yesterday said you put Harden and Embiid together, and they become the team to beat in the East.
We all appreciate the greatness of Kendrick Perkins, Santa Perk, Big Perk. He is not Stephen A. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
He is on that side of the fence. I'm on this side of the fence.
What are the Sixers? What are they with Embiid and Harden?
Well, with Embiid and Harden, they're a championship contender, but not above Brooklyn if Simmons is on Brooklyn. And the point is that they're standing in your way. If Brooklyn was in the Western Conference, I wouldn't care. Brooklyn is in the same division as the Philadelphia, not just the same conference, the same division as the Philadelphia 76ers. That is a direct roadblock, an impediment to your success. I think it would be absolutely foolish for Daryl Morey to trade Ben Simmons there for James Harden, especially the James Harden that we're witnessing, still averaging 22, 10, and 8, can still ball, but he's older, he's bigger, and he's got hamstring issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, damn, I don't have to be Dr. Oz or somebody to tell you that that is not a good recipe for success when you're going up against KD, Kyrie, and potentially Ben Simmons together.
So the expectation then is that we will go through the remainder of this season and whatever happens in the playoffs, and Ben Simmons will play for no one.
I was told that Harden's not going anywhere for this season. You know, he has emphatically stated to the Nets he wants to stay in Brooklyn. Their brass believes him, and they're going to hold on to him, and KD wants them to hold on to him. This summer, all bets are off. We don't know what's going to happen. Daryl Morey, in my opinion, dropped the ball by not making a move this summer to move Ben Simmons. If it were Elton Brand or somebody else in that position, that's fine. Now, he's feeling the pressure because the coaches, other folks within the organization, want him to make a move, but they've left it up to Daryl Morey from what I have been told. It's his call. He better do something because he's wasting away the greatest season of Joel Embiid's career, and he is now my number one candidate for league MVP right now. He has been a monster.
Yeah.
You have to get him some help.
He's mine, too. And because of his history of injury, you just don't know how long the window is for his greatness. I agree with you. Losing a year with him is terrible. One last thing. Las Vegas still has the Nets as the favorites to win the championship. If those three guys are healthy when the playoffs begin, are they your favorite?
Yeah, probably so. I just think that Kyrie Irving is a superstar. Now, we don't know whether he's going to get off the bus or not. We got to stand in the tunnel and make sure that we look at the bus and make sure he gets off. Once he gets off the bus, he is box office. He is worth the price of admission and then some. He's that lethal, and we all know who KD is. KD is a superstar. When healthy, I believe he's the best in the world, period. So when you take that into account, and a healthy James Harden, I preface it by saying health, Harden, KD, Kyrie. If all three are healthy, I'm not betting against them in the Eastern Conference, not even against Miami or Milwaukee. But the problem is we don't know if Harden's healthy, and we don't know what bus Kyrie Irving is going to be on from whatever arena he's supposed to show up in. It's day-to-day.
And if that is a bus to Brooklyn, at least right now, he wouldn't be eligible to play in the games. All right, they're yelling at me, you got to go do First Take in 6 minutes. Stephen A., awesome. Thank you, my friend. And we got NBA Countdown tomorrow night on the eve of the NBA trade deadline. Again, First Take, top of the hour here. Are the Bengals being overlooked? And should the Nets and Sixers make that deal? Stephen A. with Molly and Booger and J.J. Redick coming up top of the hour right here on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Arby's. Arby's, we have the meats. Meanwhile, what do we have on ESPN tonight? Oh, an SEC Big Ten Super Tuesday doubleheader. We got 7 Eastern. We got Kentucky taking on South Carolina. Then we got the two best teams in the Big Ten going head-to-head, Illinois and Purdue. Great night of college hoops tonight, Super Tuesday on ESPN. Then we got NBA action coming your way tomorrow night on the eve of the trade deadline. We got a couple All-Stars there. LaMelo just got added to the team along with DeMar DeRozan. Bulls-Hornets is our early game. And then the late one, two of the best in the West, the Warriors, who actually have the longest win streak currently in the league right now against the Jazz, who've gotten hot again. We'll start your night with NBA Countdown 7 Eastern here on ESPN. Meanwhile, my favorite moment of the weekend, come on, Graziano and Dominique, Bill Murray reenacting the legendary look-away putt, the no-look putt from Caddyshack. How about that? Neek, what do you think? Neek, what are your thoughts?
I appreciate the arrogance. I love that. I think we need more of that in golf. As a cornerback, anytime you can showboat, I'm a fan of that. I think I've seen Caddyshack. I don't remember this scene. I just remember there was like a groundhog in the movie a bunch, right?
There was indeed a groundhog.
Prominent character in the movie.
There were quite a few things in that movie.
I was
movie
born in 83.
The groundhog is not necessarily the first thing that comes to most people's mind when they think of Caddyshack, but that's a perfectly reasonable thing to remember. All right, Graziano's coming over with me to do radio. We'll be live coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds. Stephen A. and company have First Take next here now.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.